With the young, appealing Vestara up for the task of taking point, interacting with port authorities, and paying for everything with a credit card not traceable to the Skywalker name, it was simple for Luke and Ben to stay wrapped in their traveler's cloaks and remain anonymous. The Port Authority representative, a youthful red-headed human wearing a gold jumpsuit with piping in burgundy, offered advice. Wrote advice that he'd obviously memorized years earlier.
Nam Chereos is at its farthest point from its sun, and that plus axial tilt means it's winter. Harsh winter. If you're away from shelter at night, you freeze and die. If you don't have heavy clothes, you can pick them up in Hweg Shul, the shuttle's destination. He set three small spray canisters on the desktop between himself and Vestara. Drock repellent, courtesy of the Port Authority, which means it's paid for by your Decontam prepay. You can buy more planet side.
He set three small glow rods with oversized battery packs beside them. Very bright. Don't look right into them or you'll damage your retinas. But they send Drock scurrying away, or paralyze them so you can step on them. These you return when you lift, or incur an additional charge to your Decontam account. Good luck finding your cousins. He sounded as though he had not the least interest in learning how the quest for fictitious cousins came out, but his tone was polite enough. A few minutes later, loaded with their new anti-drock gear and duffels from Jade Shadow packed with winter garments, the three boarded an aged but meticulously named Lambda-class shuttle. A few minutes later, the passenger compartment, also occupied by a Duros female in medical whites and a middle-aged human male in shiny business wear affected by Meridian Sector middle managers, they launched for Koval Station and began atmospheric entry. Staring out the portside viewport beside his seat, Luke reflected on the changes brought by the 30 years since his first visit to this world. As they descended into the atmosphere, the colors, the textures of the world below were just as he remembered. There were vast plains of slate-gray stone and dust. There were patches of terrain that glittered, reflecting and refracting the sunlight in all the colors of the rainbow, and more besides. Plains of crystalline gravel. Ravines filled with towering columns of crystal. Some of them the sapient sills, or spook crystals native to this world. There were dark ridges of basaltic mountain, many of them decorated with crystalline patches. And here and there, more numerous than on his first visit, there were small patches of green, communities clinging precariously to the small areas of arable land above subterranean water seams. Not that farming sustained the planet's economy these days. Most of the remaining farmers were old-timers, descendants of the first wave of colonists, tough, hardy men and women, content with the hard-scrabble existence of agricultural production on an unforgiving world.